listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life service for Wednesday, May 17th, 2017. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Good to be here.
We would like to welcome all of those joining us live as well as those listening to the archives. We appreciate your time. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to read our 9 abbreviated principles of belief as is customary. The first one is do no harm, do right. The second is we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And if you'd like to read the full versions of those, visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. And I did not also include that Michael Kelly is here producing the program and participating. Welcome, Michael. Sorry about that.
No problem. Good evening, everyone. Glad to be here.
All right. So tonight we'll be pulling some cards in a little bit. I want to Tabby had sent in a topic that she'd like to discuss, and it's a good one. And it basically covers the topic of the art of being human in a technological world. This is a topic that we include in our curriculum. It's in course B3 at IMHS, segment 4. And it's in, trying to think of which course it's in at TFU. I can't think of, it's on the communication course, but I think it's in the second one. Anyway, but it's been practical communication. But it's a good topic, and her question or topic suggestion is what is your take on managing and coping in a world easily connected to each other via the technologies today but disconnected from humanity? It's quite ironic that we have more opportunities and are connected easily today, more easily today than we were hundreds of years ago, yet we seem to be the angriest, indifferent, and or depressed people in the world today. And I think she has some points there. So what I'm going to do is just give a brief overview of some of the things that we go over in the course, and then we'll get Dr. Hunter's comments and Michael's if he has any. And so the point is this topic is the art of being human in a technological world, or a second title would be how to build excellent people skills. There's a quote I'd like to read here, too, by Sidney J. Harris. The quote is, "The real danger is not that computers will begin to think like men, but that men will begin to think like computers." And I think that's apropos for this day and age. I mean, we see people basically glued to their cell phones, walking down the street, not watching where they're going. You know, there's so much of this, and you know, people basically texting each other at the table, I've heard, and things like that. So technology, if we don't manage it, it will manage us. It's like the dog, the tail wagging the dog. And so here are some things that we want to remember when it comes to technology. Technology is impersonal. It's not personable. Human relations are meant to be personable, down to earth, interacting. We're social creatures, you know, and that's, of course, linked to good communication skills. So some points to help us to keep this in balance is, number one, don't get so focused on things that you forget that things only matter to the extent that they benefit someone. You know, if you remove the human component from what you do, will you still have a job or career or any kind of relationships? And the answer is no. Everything we do only matters to the extent that it benefits someone, either ourselves or others. So when we're involved in technology, you know, who's it benefiting? Now we can say, well, yeah, it's benefiting us. You know, all we're doing is typing away, texting, or on the computer, whatever. But we also want to remember that there's more to life than just that. Yes, use technology, but use it in balance. Another point that we can use that will help us to manage technology is to smile and greet people as a matter of routine. Now, this doesn't mean you've got to smile and say hello to every person you ever see all the time, but it means that you should do it when the time and the occasion is appropriate. You know, when you do this, it creates a bit of a positive spark. You know, it means that you notice the people you live and work with or that you're around, and your demeanor reflects that. So, you know, the point is to be personable, not impersonal. Personable, not impersonal. Wearing a smile can affect your mood too in a positive way. You know, if you I don't know if you've seen this, but have you ever seen anybody who just seemed to walk around with this continuous smile? And no, they're not crazy. They just, you know, they walk around, they just have the smile on their face. Some people are like that. And, you know, it makes a difference. So why not try that sometime? And, you know, consciously put on a smile for a few minutes, see if it doesn't brighten your mood. And then, you know, be ready to smile at others. And here's another point. You know, greet people. As I mentioned, greet people, but here's an aspect of that. Years ago, I spent quite a few years on the road, and I stayed in a lot of hotels. And, of course, in the morning, I'm getting ready to do my seminars. I'm setting up and all that, and there'll be people walking by, you know, hotel staff or just other people there at the hotel. And I'd always make a point to greet them, say, good morning, how are you? I got a lot of different replies. I've been ignored. One guy grunted, you know, he hadn't had his coffee apparently. And I've had people say, cheerful, good, you know, good, and how are you? That kind of a thing. You know, I had one hotel maintenance worker, I asked how he was doing. He says, blessed and highly favored. But he didn't ask how I was doing either. Of course, that's very telling. You know, a lot of times we reply by rote, just by automatic. But why not reply with an interest? If somebody says good morning or good day or whatever it is, how are you? I'm good, thanks. How are you? And be interested in that. You know, not just say good, thanks, and you know, or just walking by. But try to be interested in them. And that's another point, is to show interest in people to a reasonable degree. You know, people can be very interesting, and everybody's got their story. What's your story? What's their story? You know, what are your dreams? What are their dreams? If you have an occasion, you're sitting next to somebody, and like, you know, could be on an airplane. A lot of people don't like to talk on an airplane, but sometimes they do. But anywhere, if you have an opportunity to visit with somebody, a stranger, whatever, talk, chat with somebody, why not try to learn something about them? And maybe you'll learn something about yourself at the same time. You know, ask questions. What's their story? You know, what are their dreams? What are their victories? You know, what's their story? It's very interesting. And you can learn a lot about them, but also it shows you some things about you. I don't know if you notice this, but have you ever had a conversation where the person just asked you questions about you and you did most of the talking? And maybe you didn't even realize that, but after the fact you realized, gee, all they did was ask questions. I talked about myself and I had the best conversation ever. People do that. You know, they feel good about it because they want to talk. They like it when people are interested in them. So if you're with somebody, you know, be balanced about it, but ask questions. and answer questions, you know, and have a nice conversation, because it does encourage people. So that's a number of points there. And before I move on to any others, Dr. Hunter, any comments?
Well, I think what we're saying here is set an example for others. I think that's what we're saying is, yeah. is no matter what you encounter, set the example. And, you know, it's, I think if you're at a table and out for dinner and people pull out their phones, you do one of two things. You say, can we like have a visit without phones, which is fair enough, or say, I'm going to excuse myself and go home now because you'd rather be on the phone. Well, that's something I would do. Maybe you wouldn't do. But I think what we have to do is set up some kinds of boundaries, and along with the niceties, you know. So always be social. Always present yourself in a way that you would like to be treated. And some people just have to step up to the plate. But here's the key. You got to do it in a way that doesn't expect the same in return, because you're going to be sadly disappointed. I think what, you know, the question is that we live in this very reactionary, quick world now, where people are not taking the time, and we can't take that to heart, but set the example. And I totally agree with, you know, with the email that was sent in. And it's very hard. It's not an easy task to continue to be nice when people are, their brains are flitting around and doing stuff. So for all the great things that technology does, it does have its tendency to make people, the attention span is shorter. So, but we have to set the example, and that's just the way it goes.
Yep, good points. So don't let technology, you know, manage you. You manage the technology. Use it when it's appropriate and relevant, but try to interact with people on a one-to-one level, on a human level. That's something we don't want to let technology take the humanness out of us. And another point related to this is in email communication. And in the course, we go through quite a number of different points on emails, making them more personable, and watching our tone, that sort of thing. And there's some easy ways to do that. You know, when somebody emails you, strive to reply to the emails promptly. You know, don't put it off because it's easy to forget them. But try to respond properly, reply to them promptly, whatever that means to you, promptly, as quickly as possible. When you're sending an email that involves a new topic, start a new message. Don't use an old email topic to address a new topic. That's just not good etiquette. Make sure you put a subject in the subject field. That helps to find emails. And here's an important one. When sending an email to many different people, such as many different friends, that sort of thing, do not put all of their email addresses in the to field. Don't put all their email addresses in the to field, because if you do, then everybody can see everybody else's email addresses, and that kind of violates some privacy. Instead, and don't put them in the CC field either. Put it in the BCC, which stands for blind carbon copy. And if you don't see that, you have to look for it. It's there. And what that means is that it will send, and you can send the email to yourself. You can put your own email address in the to field, and then you can put everybody else's email address in the BCC, or the blind carbon copy field. And that way, you get a copy of your email, but then they also get it, but they don't see everybody else's email address. So this protects privacy. Some other points. Don't type with all caps, which most of us know. It's commonly viewed as shouting when you're doing online communication. Some people still don't know this. I mean, I still get applications, enrollment applications that are all in caps, but kind of rare these days. Conversely, don't type in all lowercase. That's just sloppy. It's lazy. And yes, when you're texting, I don't really care, you know, what you type in. But when you're doing an email, you know, do it right. You know, make sure that you type in sentence case. That means that the first word is capitalized. The word / letter I, when you're referring to yourself, is capitalized. Those kinds of things. Punctuate them correctly. Use periods, you know, a space behind the period. just try to write them professionally, especially if you're a student, you're a doctoral student. Your writing is going to give an impression to people, and you want to present the best, most professional impression possible. So make sure that you write and spell properly. Use spell check. And if you're writing an important email, even if it's not that important, always proof them. Always go back and read them. You know, I make it a habit of doing that. Now, every once in a while, a typo gets through, but for the most part, they're correct. Make sure that your email looks good cosmetically. You know, don't type in several different fonts. Use a salutation or a greeting, such as "Hi, so and so," you know, or "Hey, so and so," or "Hello." But it's best to personalize it with their name. So if you're sending the first email to somebody, and maybe there's a string of emails, but the first one especially, use their name. You know, they've said that the sweetest word in any language is one's own name. So be sure to use their name. If they are a doctor, you call them Dr. So-and-so, usually their last name. If you're on a first-name basis, no problem. Hi, Andy, whatever it is. But make sure you spell their name right. This is important because they'll notice if you don't. For example, I'm telling you, there's so many people that misspell my last name, I've half thought about changing it because it's never spelled right. And it goes for students, too. A lot of students just don't spell my name right. And they don't mean anything by it. I know that. But when you're doing professional writing, you want to make sure that you spell their name right because they will notice. All right. What else is there here? Make sure your tone, your words are upbeat and positive. If you've got to talk to them about a very serious matter, it's best to do that in person. Second best is on the phone. But if you have to, you can deal with it in an email. Just make sure you watch your tone, that you don't come off the wrong way. And in closing, use a closing. Like, "Sincerely, my best wishes, have a great day. I hope this helps," if you're answering a question, that kind of thing. And sign your name. Now, if you're a student and you're sending me an email, please, for the love of God and all that's holy, use both of your names. Because I get all the time I get first names, and we have well over 700 students, and there's a lot of first names there, so I have to then do a search to find out who it is. Now, if I've been emailing back and forth with you, then yeah, I know who it is. But a lot of times I'll get an email out of the blue, and I have to find out who it is, especially if the name in the email, you can put your name in your email, right? And so it'll come over with your name. And if that's the case, okay, at least I know who it is, but you still should put your first and last name. But sometimes people will use all kinds of different names in their email address. I don't know why, but they do. I'm telling you, it's just the weirdest thing. But make sure you put both your names so people know who they're getting an email from. All right. Any comments, Dr. Hunter?
Well, we have quite a conversation going on in the chat, and I would like to address something here. Dr. Tabitha is writing, and again, in relation to this conversation that's happening. She says, "When I interact with people younger than me, it's like technology raised them and not their parents, meaning their interaction skills are dreadful, and they get upset that they can't have great relationships." And, of course, moving further down, she explains it a bit more, that people are detached and how being detached over a long period of time, affects people's psyches. So I would like to say that. You know that science now says we have the attention span of about 8 seconds. And I think with some people it's shorter than that. I want to tell you, though, Dr. Tabitha and others, it's not exclusive to young people. I think young people don't have great examples to look toward to know what interacting and relationships are, and I think that that's a real learning curve, but that's where we come in. But I want to say that technology has affected everybody, and I'm just going to give you an example. I have a walking partner. You know, a couple of times a week, we go to this really great park and, you know, do the big circuit, and there's a little roadway. Well, we're walking down this roadway, a group of people in front of us, and we notice that in the traffic lane, there's a fellow about 70, 75 years old, standing there looking down. Now, we're assuming that he's texting, we think. Well, a car comes, and the car comes, she has to stop. We all stop, and we're looking at him, and he's completely oblivious to anybody. So the woman rolls down her window. We're all kind of laughing, and she said, "That's funny." I said, "Yeah, that's funny." And the guy looks around, oh, and he steps 3 feet over onto the grass and keeps texting. And so, you know, what do you do with that? I mean, it's like he was completely out of touch with his environment because he was so into his phone. You know, and it's happening to everybody. So I just want to make that clear. I think to go back to others who are disconnected socially in the one-on-one, I think what's happened is that some people find that really quite safe. And hence we have a lot of trolls on, you know, a lot of social media. That was brought up in this conversation too. And it's some people have nothing better to do. They are out of touch. But hear me, I really want to emphasize this. Everything comes around, and there's always a time when somebody does want to be connected. So I want to remind the people who are listening here that this is why you're at IMHS. That's why you're, you know, at TFU. That's why we're in this program. We're sharing with each other to set good examples and hopefully impart to others. So that's the best we can do, one day at a time, and as you feel you can impact others, do your best. Michael, you have something you want to add?
Well, the only thing I could really add is, I'm hoping that because cell phones the way they are and text messaging and such connection to the internet is a relatively new technology, I feel like that we as a people are going to develop norms as it becomes more and more common throughout the decades. And I think things like that, you know, texting around other people is going to kind of fade away. I think that people are going to be able to balance it more. But I think that we need to have an active role in it. As with all things, you need a balance between, you know, the technology and the actual real-life interactions. But it's different for everybody. But I would agree that it is a multi-generational issue. But it's definitely a double-edged sword.
I agree.
Good points. Yep. So those are some areas to consider on the art of being human in a technological world. Don't lose your humanness. Uh-huh. That is what makes us special, to our interactions. Remember, things only matter to the extent they benefit someone. So whatever you're doing, whether at work or at home, the only reason you're doing it is to benefit somebody. Whatever your job is at work, you're only doing that to benefit somebody, obviously yourself, but other people. If there was no call for that, then you wouldn't have a job. So remember why you're doing what you're doing. All right, so we'll get to pulling some cards, and we're going to pull one for Teresa, who's not able to listen to the live broadcast tonight. But then if you'd like a card pulled, please put your name in the chat room, and we'll do that. These cards are from the Inner Oracle card deck, which is a teaching self-discovery type card deck, and it has a lot of different topics, most of which we teach in our schools, but they're little snippets and little things to get you thinking. So we'll start with Teresa, and then we'll move on.
Well, I just pulled one for Teresa, and you get education, Teresa, which is number 39. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. It's always a good rule. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. So that's a little reminder for you, Teresa. If you're pondering something, that's kind of my sense of it. Maybe you're pondering, you know, looking at another course or two. Who knows? Anyway, do you want to take a shot at the next card to get pulled there, Michael? If you have yours, I think it's Fran is up next.
Yeah, it is Fran, and I'd be more than happy to pull a card. And Fran, I pulled number 42, Trust, Integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself, intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
Well, you know, and this is just wild. I went to pick one up for Dr. Tabitha, and I got the same card, Michael.
What are the odds on that one?
Looks good. So, Tabitha, if you were listening to that one, and, you know, I'll just say it just means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. So that's a reinforcement, a double whammy. I don't remember when that's happened.
Well, I think as tumultuous as the world can be at times, I think that that's a good one to remember.
Yeah, it is. Do you want to get one for Dr. Frank there?
Oh, absolutely. And let's see, I'm pulling from the middle of the deck this time. And I pulled number 24, Truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet, the only truth kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
Good one. Little message there. Well, I think it's Wendy is next, correct? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy, I have number 21, Insight Wisdom. Wisdom is a successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment and seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions. So that's a little reminder for you there. Insight, wisdom.
Let's look up number 45, whichever card that is.
Oh, she was meaning Trump. It's a...
Oh, the presidential number.
Yeah.
Well, look up 45 anyway.
Okay.
What the heck?
All right.
Number, you never know.
We have inspiration and motivation is number 45.
Okay.
That's kind of funny. All right. This one's for you, Mr. Trump. Notice I call him Mister. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy. Oh, I think he's got plenty of that.
All right.
So
we're moving
who's
on.
Who's next? Who's next here?
If we missed anybody, please definitely throw your name up in chat. But I think that's it. Although, Dr. Hunter, I think I could really use a card this week.
Oh, happy to do that, Michael. Just reach deliberate intent. My hand went right to the deck and got that one. So I'll read it here. The simple act of intention. registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience. I think the key in this kind of a message is to be really clear about what we want. And sometimes, rather than the bigger things, we can start with little things. So this isn't just for you, Michael. I would say this to anybody. It's finding that some of those little things that you want, and you know, that deliberate intent. And remember that everybody, please, the universe does not paraphrase. You have to be very specific. So you can't assume that the universe knows what you want because those are your emotions. It has to be a clarity of emotion and mind together, and project that out into the world. Just my little addendum to that.
Well, thank you very much. I think it's very applicable, actually.
Oh, good. That's great. Now, did anybody... Oh, would you pull a card for Becca? Well, nice to have you listening in, Becca. Do you want to grab that one, Michael?
Absolutely, I can. And... Becca, I pulled number 13, positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude, even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Awesome.
Good point.
That's for you, Becca.
All right. Dr.
Anyone
Hunter.
Else? Michael?
Dig deep. Pull a card for me.
Oh.
Dig deep. Deep.
All right.
Deep.
I'm putting my hand over these fanned out cards. Ooh, waiting for a... Okay, I got a card. Balance and order.
Oh, that's just so wrong.
That might just be a little bit appropriate, do you think?
I think so.
Everybody will clue in one moment. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and, of course, respect for free will.
Good card. Mm.
Do you want to tell everybody what balance and order is important for you today?
Yes, that's as good a time as any. Speaking of balance and order, we're going to take a little bit of a hiatus from the weekly program for a little bit. I need to recharge. We all need to recharge. Maybe everybody needs to recharge. And so we're gonna take a couple of months off here through the summer. So tonight will be the last one for until August 2nd. We'll come back, and during that time, I want to see about. We're gonna investigate different modes of broadcasting and see if we can't tighten things up a little bit. But it's basically a time to recharge. So we'll send out a reminder when it gets closer to August 2nd. And in the meantime, I would only do it till probably around July, the 1st of July, but July is the dead of summer and people are doing things. So I decided to just go to the beginning of August. So anyway, so you can listen to the archives if you'd like. For those listening to this live or the archives, there's a ton of archives on the website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. And so that should suffice. And Dr. Hunter?
Well, I can't miss this moment. Fran has just put it into the chat that it's her birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Fran. That's That's great. Sorry, my brain just got sidetracked there.
Oh, I know. I knew you were going to say that. That's
fine. So, and the other is Dr. Angie's asking, for her sake of her guest, Becca, to do a bit of an explanation of the cards. And I'll tell you, there's a bit of a story. Let's back up here. It was quite some time ago now that Dr. Kelly and I had lots of conversations, and I forget how that happened. There was another email from one of the students, and anyway, it just kind of snowballed into, because I read the tarot, of course we know what the tarot are, and we talk about different kinds of cards, and there's lots of people doing cards. Dr. Kelly started to develop the Inner Oracle self-discovery cards based on the IMHS program. Now, there are 5 suits. Each suit has a specific number of cards. And we have a little guidebook with it. But, you know, everything, all these cards represent something in the teachings at IMHS and TFU, of course, the 9 principles of belief, life leadership paragon, and so on and so on. And so it developed into that. So it's just one of those things where if you wanted to do something, pull a card every day, and that's your little reminder, or talks to your higher self, or little, you know, unconscious something that could be bothering you. There's different kinds of layouts, past, present, future, situation as it is, unfolding, best outcome, you know, and it's anything to get you activated in your thoughts. And she's saying, Becca doesn't even know what the tarot cards are. Well, you know, we could be here a long time and we're going to cut that short. We'll leave that one to you, Dr. Angie. But lots of people, again, there's so many different vehicles to tap into a higher consciousness, whether it's in, you know, intuitive for yourself, between two people. You know, there's so many vehicles to do that with. And this happens to be the school and the church's vehicle, this, again, the Inner Oracle self-discovery cards. I won't say it, you know, it, let me say it this way. It took a long time to meticulously put into wording and spacing, and Dr. Kelly did a fantastic job of designing, you know, to keep everything really succinct and to the point, and just enough to joggle our brains. That's how it is. Your mind. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you finish. I'll speak.
And of course, it activates new ideas. And I think it's a great grounding tool. And again, it inspires us into thought. That's what it does.
Good points. And I'll add just a little bit more to that. You know, for several years, I wanted to do something. I mean, I knew of the tarot cards, and I wanted to do something sort of like that, but with its own focus. And it's just kind of on the back burner. I was thinking about it, trying to come up with an idea, and so I don't know what's it been, 2 or 3 years ago now. One of our students, Dr. Alicia Doyle, who's just such a sweetheart, such a great person, she had a similar idea. We had never discussed it, but she had sent in an idea with some of her own drawings for some, and it just re-inspired me, and she did a great job on it, and it re-inspired me to do something along these lines. So that's when I started working on it and developing it more, and it just kind of evolved, and it was a lot of work by both Dr. Hunter and myself in getting those up to speed and produced. And if you don't have a deck and you'd like a deck, you can get them on the website here, metaphysicalhumanism.org. Just look for the store on the menu button, and they're $30 in shipping, and they're really nice. I mean, they're beautiful cards, and the guidebook, and it shows you different layouts. And the cool thing about these, and I've said this before, I did not expect this to happen. I just didn't. But when you get laying those things out, just like we've done so many times in this program, the cards seem to blend together. They seem to work together. There's a synchronicity almost that I have a hard time explaining. It was just, you almost get into the, you get dialed in, and they're designed to get you thinking. They're designed to teach you
different avenues, teach you practical life skills, and to get you thinking about your life and how to improve it. That's what they're designed for, and they work really well. And so they're a great thing. So if you like your own deck, you can get one.
You know, before we close out and take this nice summer break, Michael, would you choose a card for me, please?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be more than happy to.
Okay. Thank you.
And the best part is you'll be here to help me interpret it.
Well, it's subjective, too, you know.
All right. Dr. Hunter, I pulled number 26, energy signature.
Ooh.
This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy.
Well, you know, it's very appropriate. Now, I'll just fill people in. Dr. Kelly's aware of this. I have been doing my family tree because I got my DNA tested. And I've, you know, come up with a snag. And now I am a little frustrated. I'm not necessarily sending out really good energy signatures. As it turns out, my DNA doesn't match with my paternal ancestry. So there's either a concealment in the ancestry, or my biological father is not, or my father's not my biological father. So over this summer, I'm hoping to solve this mystery because I put it out to the family, in certain people who it would be relevant with, to do their DNA so that I can maybe have some light shed on this dilemma. So changing my energy signature, that's a good cosmic 2x4 upside my head to keep calm, stay grounded, put out a good vibe, and say, So thank you for that, Michael.
Well, of course.
You know, and one other thing I'll just leave everybody with is, I don't know if you've been watching some of these documentaries on dark energy, dark matter, but there's a new one, Secrets of... What is it called? Secrets of Space? Secrets of the Universe? It's a good program, and it's very interesting on parallel universes and why this dark energy and dark matter basically make up as much as 90%+ of everything that's in the universe. And that means that everything you can see, we can see, is only amounts to, 6 or 8%, if that. And so there's this dark energy keeping the galaxies together, and the dark, something's pulling the galaxies apart, and they're not just moving apart, but they're accelerating, they're moving apart faster. And so they have these different hypotheses on multiple universes that, you know, we can't explain. I mean, we can't see it, we can't touch it, we can't sense it for the most part, this dark matter, dark energy. And it's fascinating to think about the existential impact or consequences of that, of learning this stuff. The fact is that there's more to the universe than we've ever even imagined, and I personally think it goes way beyond that in layers, you know, and it's just a wonderful thing. So, something to think about. If you haven't seen those documentaries, look them up. I'm sure you can look them up on YouTube. Do a search for dark matter, dark energy, and you'll find plenty, I'm sure. So, we'll start wrapping the program up. Again, we won't be back till August 2nd. In the meantime, everyone has a good summer. Or winter if you're below the southern hemisphere.
People can still contact us. You can still email us. It's like we're still here. Available. We're just not going to be doing the program. So.
Yeah, we'll get recharged and we'll be back with some new stuff and it'll be a good thing, I think, for everybody. So, again, thanks to everybody for tuning in. Thanks for those listening to the archives. Thanks to Dr. Hunter and Michael Kelly, as always. Until next time, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.